welcome to The Book Hound, heard every week right here on 99.1 FM Talk in Northern Nevada and streaming on the web at 99.1fmtalk.com. My name is Janice Hermsen, your host every week and one of the owners of LaRue Press. We're a publisher, printer, and bookseller right here in Reno, Nevada, but by way of the internet, we serve our customers and you across the country. We really do love our new music. Jenny, have you heard the new music, We Are Family?
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Because we really are family. Our company is owned by myself, my sister Lenore, and our sister-in-law Kathy. And as a bonus, Jenny and many of our family members work with us too.
I'm her daughter.
Yes, Jenny joined our team just last week, actually.
Yes. And it was fun and exciting. I really enjoyed it.
And I didn't scare you away.
No.
No, you're still here, and that's really good.
Not even that creepy rat thing scared me away.
I know. They did. Eddie did some kind of weird rat thing on Facebook the other day, and just really crazy. But that's okay. We record here every Thursday at 11 o'clock in the Reno Town Mall across from the Atlantis, and we hope you'll join us and be part of our live audience. We interview authors, talk about books, music, movies. Jenny loves to review movies in the LaRue Review.
Yes.
What was your latest review, Jen?
Oh, okay. Well, it was a book, but the last
movie. Oh, that's
movie,
right. That's right. You did a book this last time.
I'm on mom time as far as seeing movies right now.
Are you?
So it's like video, straight to DVD kind of movies that I have time for. So the last one I actually reviewed was last year, and it was Star Trek.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
that's right. Anybody who like has any remote, you know, not living under a rock, they know that Star Trek came out some time ago.
Just a bit.
My article is good for busy moms.
There you go. That's great. And people who like Star Trek.
Yes, exactly.
And maybe they haven't seen it yet, or maybe they'd like to see it again.
Yes.
Never can tell.
All right.
Today, we have with us a very special guest right here at the Reno Town Mall. She's in the studio with us, Aida Goldfin. Welcome to the Book Hound, Aida.
Thank you, Jan. It's great to be here with you.
And we're glad you're here. Aida's been a customer of LaRue Press since we took over the printing portion of the business in 2007. Then a couple of years ago, she came to us with the project she wanted us to help her complete. Tell us a little bit about that, Aida.
Okay, well, they've done so well. You've done so well with my cards. And then about a little over 3 years ago, my younger son passed away, and in his paperwork I found a bunch of poetry, and he had one poem published 15-20 years ago, and we thought that was the end of it, but he had been keeping up with it, and I took it into you, and you were nice enough to put it together, and it's just a beautiful book.
And interestingly, we started this as a project specifically for your family, right?
Yes.
And we actually eventually we read the poems and we really liked them, and decided to put them into what we call a chapbook. A chapbook is historical
publishing.
There you go.
Yes,
they are cheap books, and so what that means today is they're saddle stitched or staple bound.
Well, you did a beautiful, and it wasn't just the fact that you put them together. The empathy you gave us was wonderful, and it did become a family project with us too. And I've given it to a lot of friends, but I think Matthew would be so proud of it.
Yes, and in addition to that, Aida, you included your artwork in that. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, it was mostly some of the cards I did that I sell.
You do greeting cards.
I do greeting cards and stationery and stuff like that. And I think it was your idea, and it was great. Some of the cards you put in here were beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, it turned out really good.
It did. It's a really nice book, and some beautiful poetry in it, and very insightful as well, especially since I think Matthew was, 48 when he passed away? So he was young, but he did show a lot of insight in the poetry that he wrote. Do you have a particular favorite poem?
I think I love the old folks one, because, of course, here I am an old folk. But the other one was called Another Day, and it just has a beautiful ending to it, and I just like the way he phrased it.
Do you want to share that with us?
I'll read you the last part if that's
fine.
That'd
be great.
The end of it's always demanding in my mind a vigil and constant awareness of another day and a reason to give thanks for life. And his whole life was just...
Yes. And he had children as well.
He had two sons, so and now I've got a great-granddaughter.
Oh, good for you.
And so there, Matthew continues, life goes on.
It's true, mm-hmm. it's true. And Strength and Courage is really raw and unedited. We did not take it and edit the poetry at all. We left it in its raw form. And we thought it would be a great tribute to him and to his children. And as I said, I do feel that it's very insightful. And one of my favorites, actually, in the collection is Circles. And I related to this poem because in life I really think that we do go in circles and then progress to each, you know, eventuality in that manner, whether that's another cycle in life or whether that's moving on to whatever you believe is next.
Yes, true, true.
And in the poem, Matthew says, "Our lives are a gift not to be taken lightly. You see, as soon as our eyes open on this earth, we are only getting ready to finish our path and complete our circle." And I just really felt that it was almost like, you know, a little ominous since he did, you know, end up meeting his demise a little early. So.
Yes, but it was something he would have just loved. It just went to sleep and he's on another circle.
Right.
That's what it
and
starts.
And it's perfect.
Yeah.
You can get a copy of Strength and Courage at LaRue Press, and we're located right across from the Grand Sierra Resort driving range. So you can go online to lrpnv.com. We have it available as an ebook also, or give us a call at 775-356-1004. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, and on a lighter note, you also were talking about your cards.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about the cards.
Well, I started doing it for my children, then my grandchildren, and then I brought them to you, and you started printing them, and we started selling some. And some are a little bit naughty, I guess you'd call it, but they're fun.
Yes, they are.
I prefer the term comical, right?
For your kids, right, Jen?
Yeah.
Oh, PG-13. Let's put it that way.
That's right.
But I've got some for your age group too.
Yes.
I promise.
No, we totally enjoy it, and I think that's one of the funnest parts about going in there is I always take a look at the cards when I go into the shop.
Thank you.
That's great.
And I started doing T-shirts too on them. So
awesome, awesome. Yeah. And you can find those at lrpnv.com. So, Aida, you were telling us a little bit about your T-shirts. Why don't you elaborate on that for us? What kind of T-shirts are you doing?
Oh, almost anything by request. I've done some, like I say, naughty ones, and I've done some children fairy tale ones, and whatever anyone wants, I managed to find something for them.
So if I want to call you up and say, hey, I want a T-shirt for my new grandchild, I can do that.
If it's a boy, I've got just the one. And if it's a girl, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, we're only going to have one, right, Jen?
Yes, just one.
At a time.
Yes, one at a time. I highly recommend that. I've experienced both.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Aida, when did you first start drawing and doing your artwork?
Oh, I was drawing when I was a child. I even did my grammar school graduation card. There was only three kids that graduated, but still, I did the cards, the what do they call them? Graduation cards.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hmm. And you also told me a story about drawing on jackets when you were in high school.
Oh, in high school,
yes.
For 50 cents a piece, I drew a girl on the back of their leather jackets, bikinis. But then the principal called me and said, if you don't make them full-bodied bathing suits, you better quit. So I
Boy,
was out of business.
Man. How life has changed.
I was
huh?
going to say, man.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they'd have that rule these days.
No, I could really go into business now,
oh,
couldn't
man.
I?
And where were you born, Aida? Were you born here?
I was
here
born in Arizona, but raised in Northern California, a little town called Grimes on the Sacramento River.
And what brought you to Reno?
My husband, our business, we just decided we'd go into business here and raised our children here. It was country then, and you could raise your children. And
that's still pretty good right now.
It's still country, yeah. Huh? But
we
not like...
oh, relatively speaking,
yes.
Compared to the rest of the world, it's
it's still beautiful country.
Yeah.
We were in Gold Beach last week, and I came home, and I really appreciate my home here.
Yes, that's wonderful. So you do greeting cards, you do garden rocks also.
Oh, I do. I do them for gardens, big ones, and they're hard to lug around, so I also started making little desk rocks for just like... like if your friend's in the hospital and you need a little gift that'll cheer them up.
Yeah, my niece actually gave me something like that once.
Really?
It was very nice. Yeah.
I've got two orders in Gold Beach, Oregon, believe it or not. I've got to send them. Wow. So hopefully they'll be light little rocks.
I was going to say, isn't that kind of costly to send?
They're very small rocks.
Well, that's good to know that you can, though. Yeah.
Because, you bet.
Yeah, then it's not too much to ship them, and so you can do them for anyone. And how are people going to get a hold of you if they would like to order either your t-shirts or the rocks or anything like that? By email, maybe?
Email, I've got, it's sagoldfin@charter.net.
And that's S like Sam.
S like Sam, A like an
apple.
Apple, yeah. Aida sounds much like an I, so I better say apple. Yeah.
Okay, and, that's super.
And of course at LRP.
Oh, of course. Always at LRP. Come to lrpnv.com and we'll either be able to get a hold of Aida or we'll help you work through the logistics of it all.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
sounds good.
Are you planning any special projects this summer?
Mostly the garden rocks. I want to start going to nurseries and putting up the big rocks. And I do have the people, there's a little shop called I can't think of the name of it. It's on Vazier Street, and it's a Ladies Assistance League of Reno, I think is the name of it.
There you go.
And it's a little thrift shop, but they also have a little gift shop, and they're just wonderful, and they have a good clientele.
That's great. And I want to remind everybody that if you want to reach Aida, you can email her at S like Sam, A Goldfin, and that's GOLDFIN. @charter.net. And we want to thank you for joining us on the Book Hound, brought to you by LaRue Press on 99.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back with Saul Weber, author of A Lesson My Cat Taught Me. Listen up, it's a good book.
Thank you, Jen.
Hey guys, this is Josh, the Big Show McCarthy, host of Bubba's Bet Sports Talk Radio, also heard right here on 99.1 FM Talk, your Fox News radio station. And I want to talk to you about Capriotti Sandwich Shop. My favorite sandwich is the Bobby. It's homemade butterball turkey, cranberry sauce, and hearty stuffing, all on a fresh baked roll. Pair that with the chopped Italian salad, and that's a lunch worthy of the Big Show. Capriotti Sandwich Shop is located at 5140 Kitski, across from Lowe's Home Improvement. Stop by and pick up a party platter on the way to your next Wolfpack tailgate party. Call ahead to place your order at 336-4906 to order your game day sub sandwiches, or check us out online at capriottis.com for awesome specials. Capriotti's also delivers. That number again is 336-4906. Hey, I don't know how freaky fast they are, but the sandwiches are definitely worth it. Capriotti Sandwich Shop, extraordinary food for those unwilling to settle.
I'm Donna Klontz, and I approved this message.
Hello, my name is Dana Galvin, president of the Washoe Education Association, and I would like to talk to you about Donna Klontz, candidate for Nevada State Board of Education, a tireless advocate for our children and our schools. Donna understands the link between Nevada's economic growth and our schools. Donna will work tirelessly to make sure our school safety plans are updated so we can prevent bullying, school crime, and lessen the presence of drugs, gangs, and weapons on our campuses. Donna's priority will be to increase communication, strengthen school community partnerships, and ensure there is an effective educator in every classroom so that our students can succeed. These are all the reasons why the WEA proudly endorses Donna Klontz for Nevada State Board of Education. Join me, Dana Galvin, president of the WEA, in voting for Donna Klontz.
For more information, visit DonnaKlontz.com, paid for by Friends of Donna Klontz.
Get your laugh on. Join us each and every Friday and Saturday at the historic Pioneer Underground Theater in downtown Reno. Enjoy a full bar in a beautiful smoke-free theater setting with a no-drink minimum. Reno Tahoe Comedy features some of the best comedians, many who have appeared on Showtime, Comedy Central, HBO, Howard Stern, Oprah, and NBC. Be sure to catch hypnotist Dan Kim in Reno's only hypnotic show, Fridays at 7 p.m. Discover how, on the count of three, he can make you a star. You don't want to miss The Utility Players, voted Reno's best improv group every second Thursday of the month. Reno Tahoe Comedy Cares. We love making money for you. Contact us today on how to hold your next No Muss, No Fuss fundraiser for your group or organization with us. For showtimes and more information, visit www.renotahocomedy.com. Whether you want to laugh with the one you love on date night, tickle your funny bone, giggle, or chuckle, find out why. It's always happy hour at Reno Tahoe Comedy.
Welcome back to the second segment of The Bookhound, brought to you by LaRue Press. We're here at the Reno Town Mall, and if you have a moment on a Thursday, stop by and join us as we record at 11 a.m. every week. My name is Janice Hermsen, and my co-host and beautiful daughter, Jennifer Brewster, is with us again, and still.
Hello.
You're still here, Jenny.
Here I am.
Yes, I don't know about you, but do you have any great cat stories to tell us, Jen?
I have one funny one that I was just thinking about, and it's that my cat also must want to be on the radio.
Why is that?
Because when I have by my bedside an alarm clock, and I don't know if any of you are from the 90s, but it has buttons on it, right? So the hour and the minute buttons are actually right next to each other, and you can actually push them freely to change the time, which is pretty convenient most of the time, except when your cat wants to sit on it.
Oh, my.
And the first time that I discovered she was actually sitting and sleeping there and, you know, taking her baths there or whatever it is that she does, I woke up at about 2 o'clock in the morning to my alarm clock going off at 6 o'clock.
Oh, great.
So she's just, you know, her little paws are just stepping on the buttons, and I'm like, why are you on my radio?
Yeah, and I'm sure that our listeners are wondering, why in the world are we talking about cats? And so I'm going to tell you, today we have Saul Weber, the author of A Lesson My Cat Taught Me. And I could probably learn something from you, Saul, or maybe we could learn from your cat. Welcome to the Bookhound. Where did you grow up, Saul? Where were you born?
New York City.
And are you still living in New York now?
I'm living in New York. I've been living in the Bronx all my life.
Wow, that's interesting. Was there a turning point in your life when you decided to be a writer?
Well, I live in a large community, and it's the largest co-op in the world. And I was on the board of directors, so that gave me an opportunity to write viewpoints, commentaries every week. Along the way, I said, let me see if I can write something else. Of all things, I decided to write a paranormal romance, which I never completed. My wife stated, why don't you write something for children? And I wound up taking a look at our two cats, and that's how I got the idea for the book.
Was there a reason that you decided to put your book in print instead of ebooks, with ebooks as popular as they are right now?
I originally had a publisher, a contract bandit that was in print. I believe my book is too short to be in an ebook. It's a total of 38 pages, including illustrations, the title page, and what have you.
Do you think you'll do an ebook with maybe your para-romance novel in the future?
I'm writing a different one, and I definitely will because of the length of the book.
Well, that's great. You know, your book, A Lesson My Cat Taught Me, has gotten some really great reviews. One reader, who's also an author, said that A Lesson My Cat Taught Me is delightful, yet an educational book. Weber manages to weave into the story lessons not only on how to care for a cat, but also about the importance of animal rescue and adoption, and the main lesson for tolerance of others who may be different, and learning to not be afraid of those who are challenged in some way. Tell us more about the book.
We have no children, and the book started out as with a girl finding a cat in the garage, which is what me and my wife did. With our second cat. And when we got home, we found out that cat had one eye. And the cat turned out to be more capable of doing things than the cat we already had. So that was the basic for the story. And then I said, well, how can I take this? Where can I take this story? So I thought about disability, and that's how the rest of the story developed.
And in the story, there's an encounter with somebody in a wheelchair.
Right. There was after this, Jennifer had the cat for a while, and a good while, she got a new classmate, and the classmate happened to be in a wheelchair. And of course, when somebody like that gets into a classroom, everybody would be staring at her.
Right.
And except Jennifer. And the character Hillary noticed that right away.
You know, my husband is in a wheelchair, and that's very true. He's very curious about somebody in a wheelchair, and they don't really know how to manage that oftentimes. So your story could be very helpful. What age group would this appeal to?
The book is written for between 5 and 8 years old. However, if an adult reads it, they will also find that book an enjoyable read. It's just the language I wound up using. It fits perfectly.
Well, that's great. And so what do you do when you're not writing, Saul?
I'm a retired New York City employee, so I'm retired.
So what does a retired person do?
Write, do this, just hang around, watch TV, write, go on the internet.
Well, that's great. So where can the listeners get a copy of your book?
The book is available online at Amazon.com.
That's great. Do you have a favorite book from your childhood that you like to read?
Well, the books were Dr. Seuss.
Ah, and that's one of the names in your book, too, isn't it?
Yeah, no, see, I have one of my cat's name is Dr. Seuss, but of course in the book I had to rename him Mr. Pickles.
Oh, that's right, that's what you told
me. Because of the name Dr. Seuss.
Right.
The other cat had one eye. The other cat that has one eye is Uno, and that's her name.
How did you go about getting your illustrator for your book?
I didn't get a publisher. My book is self-published now. She had supplied the illustrator.
Oh, okay. Do you have any particular writing strategies or rituals that you like to follow when you write? You're writing another book, so is there something that you really like to do or that you always do?
Right. I try to do 4 pages double-spaced a day, 1,000 words. A day, and if you do that, you can write a book in almost, before you know it, a book is done. 60,000 words takes you about 2 months to do.
That's pretty disciplined. I don't know how many people can do that. That's very good. Do you ever enjoy working with NaNoWriMo? Have you seen that group?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll have to send you a link. I'll have to send you a link for that because they have a November writing month, and so all month last year I joined in that and tried to write part of my book.
Oh,
that
yeah,
way.
That one, writing a book
yep.
in a month.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So have you done it, or you just know about it?
I know about it.
That's cool. Have you ever had writer's block with writing like that every day? Do you ever experience writer's block?
Everybody does. You know, it's a common occurrence. You go gung-ho, you're running down the tracks, and all of a sudden it's a roadblock. You got a big cow sitting on the tracks, and you can't move until you get rid of it.
So what do you do to get rid of it?
Just relax, take my mind over something else, go back a couple chapters and reread it. Maybe that's going to get me the momentum to pick up from there.
What was your biggest challenge when you were writing this book?
Finding a publisher.
Oh. So you didn't...
You know, you send out a query letter to see if a publisher will be interested in. Then you have to wait until they respond, because most of them do not like when a writer, an author, sends in submissions to more than one publisher. And one time I sent it to one publisher and I got back 2 denials, 2 rejections.
Did they tell you why?
Because what happened there was they just didn't care for it. They don't go into reasons. They say, thank you, but no thanks. And this one company had 2 different imprints, 2 different sub-companies that did children's book. So A passed it on to B, and B said no as well.
Well, you know, I guess sometimes it's just dependent upon what they have needs for at the time. I know we as a publisher have that as an issue. Sometimes we're just full up at the time that somebody submits, and we have to reject them. So it's a, you know, it's tough on the writers, but it is something that happens with every publisher. Do you have any advice for writers pursuing their first book?
Don't give up. You know, depending on what kind of rejection you get, sometimes you get a rejection that gives you comments of what you need to improve it. So you take that as for what it is, a form of guidance for you to improve yourself.
I think that's great advice. When you're writing, how do you keep from getting distracted? Especially, you know, you say you like to watch TV and the internet, and so how do you keep from getting distracted with all those things?
We have a 2-bedroom apartment, and I stay in 1 bedroom, a small one. my computer there, everything else there. And I just type, you know. Sometimes I play some more music in the background, easy listening type of music.
Oh, that's great. Do you have a favorite artist?
Just easy.
Just like some jazz or whatever?
Popular music, you know, like Michael Bublé or Frank Sinatra.
Is there anyone that you could identify as being a big influence on you in your writing, pushing you in some direction?
Not really.
No? You just...
Because I don't read that many books, to tell you the truth.
Oh, no, you don't want to tell them that.
No, it's, you know, I read so many books when I was younger.
Well, that's good. So you were a big reader at one point.
Yeah.
Why don't you remind
Times
the...
change.
Yeah.
People change.
That's true. Why don't you remind the listeners where they can get your book and the name of your book?
My book is available on Amazon.com. Or you can put in my name, Saul, S-A-U-L-W-E-B-E, or the title of the book, and it'll come up.
That's perfect. And don't forget, LaRue Press has thousands of books available in our store. If you're looking for a book, we're happy to help you find it. If you just want to browse, that's not a problem either. Come on in. We also publish, print, and sell books. And if you're an author, you should be on the book count. So contact us at lrpnv.com. Thank you, Saul. And thank you for joining us on the Book Hound, brought to you by LaRue Press, right here on 99.1 FM Talk and streaming at 99.1fmtalk.com. I'm your host, Janice Hermsen. Keep reading and writing.
Across the nation, people are stepping up for their mothers, fathers, husbands, wives, partners, sisters, and brothers. They're leading the way and walking to end Alzheimer's, the sixth leading cause of death in the nation. Together, we can reclaim the future. Walk to end Alzheimer's. Start a team. Join a team. Go to alz.org.